Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
Campaigners fighting to stop the continuing privatisation of the National Health Service say that between now and the 2015 general election, they must make it the most embarrassing period they can politically for both the Conservatives and the Labour Party. But the activists admit it's not going to be easy trying to win the public support, not least because of the difficulty in putting their case across in the national news media. Individual hospital closures or reorganisations and the privatisation of services do get covered in the regional and local press and on radio and television regionally and locally. But nationally, so much of the coverage is a political knockabout, and little is done to join up the dots and report and reveal the full extent of the degree to which private contractors are taking on and taking over the National Health Service. The campaign to keep our NHS public is mounting a determined effort to mobilise the campaign ahead for the general election. Now, with me are four of the activists who've been at a conference in London planning and plotting their strategy for the months ahead. John Lister, you're a seasoned campaigner. I'll turn to you first. How difficult is it going to be for this campaign to get its message across?
There's a number of problems in getting the message across. First off, some of our points are relatively complicated compared to the very PR-savvy presentation of some of the government policies we're arguing against. And we've actually got to unpick those policies and explain them. And secondly, we are dealing with a media in which journalists have very little time, very few resources, and find it difficult to follow a story in any detail. And so we're having to basically explain this each time to journalists and try to impress upon each journalist as we meet them what the scale of the story actually is.
But you obviously feel that you must press on, that you mustn't give up, even though it does sound to be a pretty daunting task.
Yes, because otherwise the option is for us to just go around and hand out leaflets one by one to individuals in the public. If through the media you can communicate with large sections of the public, and you know it is important to get these messages across in a medium where people can understand and accept what we've got to say.
Well, let's turn now to Jill George. You're the chair of the Shropshire Defend Our National Health Service. We've just heard about the problems nationally. What about you locally in Shropshire?
Well, actually, we're very confident that we can get our message across, because we're finding when we talk to ordinary people, they understand just how valuable the NHS is. They understand that the NHS supports us when we're born. They understand that we need the NHS to support us when we die, and a fair number of times in between. Now, locally, we're going to sharpen up our act in terms of writing punchy press releases, shorter, better headlines, going through the what, where's and the how's as well. We're going to get our message across very effectively. We're going to put our politicians on the spot, and we're going to put our local NHS bosses on the spot as well, and make sure that they're telling the truth to all of us who need our NHS going forward.
Now, with us is Roger Gartland, another activist. Roger, you've actually been out outside the Queen Elizabeth's Hospital in Woolwich with a very, I think, pointed but very good placard which says, "We can bail out the banks, but not the hospitals." What was the point that you were trying to make, and what's the importance then of a one-man protest like yours?
Well, the point I was trying to make was that there's a huge amount of money available to bail out the banks, almost unlimited. But there appears to be a very limited amount of money available to help the hospitals. That's the first point. As if for just being a one person doing this, I was born in 1944, and I studied how this health service came into being. And for a lot of people, we take it for granted. But Bevan, who led the insular, he said, "You have to fight for it." And that's what we've got on our hands now. I'd just like to add one other thing. You mentioned in the beginning about how this is going to be done with the media. The problem we've got is that nobody suspected, I don't think anybody suspected, that that undertaking given in 2010 during the election campaign, that the NHS was safe in the Conservative government, the Conservative Party's hands, that if the money would be ring-fenced, that there would be no top-down reorganisation. I doubt that anybody believed that such would be said and the opposite actually take place. So we must be very brave and tough, but it's a fight. It's a big, big fight now. There's £100 billion a year in the NHS budget, and that's one reason why people have got their eyes on it.
Now, another of the activists with us is Jean Smith. You're from the National Pensioners Convention. You studied and spoken up on health issues before. What's it like trying to campaign on this issue? Because you've been at it for some years.
Actually, we are extremely lucky. We issue a newsletter every 6 to 8 weeks to all our 1.5 million members. We urge them to go to speak to politicians, to their MPs, and wider. We ask them to speak to their local papers, to their local radio stations, and we have been extremely lucky. The members have been very active. They are putting themselves behind the Jarrow March, which is a march for ordinary mums who are fighting to save the NHS.
But is it actually getting the national attention that you would like? Because that's the point that John Lister has been making. It is often difficult. Yes, you can get local issues reported sometimes, but it's difficult to present the picture nationally.
We do issue national press releases, and we have been very lucky. One of our members actually managed to corner Andy Burnham, and it was when he cornered Andy Burnham that Andy Burnham agreed he would actually ask for an opt-out from the NHS for the EU-US trade agreement, which would lead to further privatisation.
Now, John Lister, you've just heard from three activists. What do you think would be the best advice to people in the next few months? Because the timescale is pretty short, isn't it? How are they going to try and maximise their efforts?
Well, the first important thing is not to get discouraged. If a press release isn't taken up, come on with another one. Just keep finding stories, pushing those into the media, real stories with solid facts to back them up. Our material that ought to be in the news, and I think journalists, when they realise they're getting us a serious source of that and a flow of that information, will start to come to us for comment, and will start to use us as a source of media information. And if we can communicate that and try to speak as clearly as we can to people, then you know we will start to get that message across on a broader basis.
Now, what do you think of social media? Because of course, one of the criticisms of many campaigns is that it's often the older volunteers who are pushing and working so hard, and they're not actually winning through to a younger audience.
We don't quite know how to quantify it. Twitter is a very rapid means of communication. I use it very enthusiastically myself. Facebook, of course, is very popular. So you have these broad-based type of social media. What we don't know is how much that translates into actual campaigning on the ground. People actually shifting into doing something rather than simply passing on a tweet or passing on a Facebook link. So they should be used, but more as a way to direct people to the fact that people are fighting and campaigning at local and national level.
Now, in Shropshire, what's been the impact? What form of media presentation, Jill George, have you found is most effective?
We've managed to get some extremely good stories in the local papers, especially the Shropshire Star has done a splendid job of covering the threats to local people when the A&E is going to be closed down. We've also managed to get a couple of local radio interviews, and we're going to go flat out to get the maximum coverage we can. But also, I think it's important to say at the end of the day, it's not going to be the media that stops the NHS disappearing. It's going to be people power. And we're also getting out there with petitions, with leaflets, going door to door, holding public meetings. We're going to mobilise ordinary people, just as we did to destroy the poll tax, and we're going to stop this government destroying the NHS through mobilising ordinary people, saying, no way, we're not going to have this.
Roger Gartland, you of course come from South East London, and lots of activists in London say it's difficult. They don't, as we've just heard from Jill, have a local paper that takes a direct interest in local issues to the same degree. How difficult is it for the London activists?
I believe it's very difficult. It's because you're in the capital and it's National News which is carrying everything. I don't know the answer to that. What's been said are certainly the way forward. I know one just we simply have got to find the way. We've got to find every and each way. There isn't a choice with this. It's either going to exist or it's going to be destroyed. So we have to learn how to do it. We simply, this is one thing, it's just not negotiable. this is something that's got to be done. It's a basic democratic right. It's one of the wonders, certainly the wonders of the post-war world. It's the envy of many people in this in the world. And as one of my friends here said, we don't want the US system, which everybody knows is a shameful disaster.
Yeah, let's give you then the last word, Gene Smith. Do you think that this possibility then, that under this agreement between the EU and the United States, it looks as though it could open the door to more privatisation in the UK? Do you think that that there is the sort of message which really hasn't been communicated very well? Although we've just heard from Roger, it's something which the activists are aware of.
I think people are just waking up to it. It's an extremely complex issue. Trade agreements just don't sound like something anyone wants to talk about, which it will affect every single one of us very, very deeply. It will affect our families, it will affect our children. I don't want to go back to hearing about babies dying because their parents couldn't afford the insurance or they couldn't afford to pay for the doctor. And that's going to be the reality if we don't do something about it.
Well, my thanks to Gene Smith, to Jill George, to Roger Gartland and to John Lister, four of those campaigners from the campaign to keep our NHS public. This podcast was recorded and produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.